deeply from the cigarette and exhaled two streams of smoke from his nose. The look on his face told Gene he was surprised the young sailor was still sitting in the chair. Gene was not about to give up. "What I'm asking, sir? Well, let me put it this way. These German prisoners, they're going as crazy as we are. Because of their unusual status, sir, their loved ones think they're already dead. They get no mail, can send no mail, and have no access to the Red Cross." Gene watched as the officer drew hard on the cigarette and blew out smoke from the corner of his mouth. I think the longer they sit behind that fence, the more time they have to figure out how to escape and the more bitter they become. "Okay, Moore. So now you're an expert on POWs. Where are you going with this? I still have not had my breakfast yet and I'm getting hungry. Fast." Gene gulped and then blurted out, "We'd like to teach them to play baseball. You know, give us something to do and give them something to do. It'll be great for our morale and it won't hurt theirs." Arbiter crushed out the smoldering Lucky Strike and leaned forward across the desk to glare at Gene. "Sailor, that dog don't hunt with me. It's completely out of the question. I don't care if they're bored, and I could care less about their morale. They're lucky we rescued their Nazi butts instead of leaving them to feed the sharks. In fact, I care more about the sharks. If they try to escape, let them. You will shoot them. If you don't shoot them, I'll personally shoot you. Hell, son, this is not a resort or a summer sports camp for bored ex-Nazi Hitler youth who decided to see the world aboard a U-boat. I hope they die of boredom. There will be fewer of them I have to feed." Gene was not expecting Commander Arbiter to welcome the idea, but he was hoping he would at least be willing to take it under consideration. "Yes, sir, I understand completely. But they are sailors, sir, just like us. Well, not just like us, but sort of like us. Their killing days are over." "That's for damn sure," the commander replied, patting down the crushed cigarette pack a second time and pulling out a pair of Lucky Strikes. He put one behind his ear and lit the other. Reaching down behind his desk, he picked up a balloon made from a large cellophane bag. "Have you heard about this little stunt yet?" he asked. Gene shook his head. "No, sir." "Last night, your sailors, you know the ones, the guys with funny names who are just like you except they speak a different language, invade friendly countries and now are behind barbed wire, made this balloon out of cellophane and filled it with hydrogen gas." "Hydrogen gas?" "That's right. They made the gas by mixing some cleaning chemicals together. They're not a dumb bunch, Moore." Arbiter held the bag aloft. On each side was a paper iron cross made with the words, "U-505 lives," written on it. "The Germans released several of these things over my camp fence hoping someone would see one, have some sympathy, and get word back to Germany they're still alive." Gene swallowed hard and said nothing. Arbiter smiled at him, revealing a row of teeth stained from years of tobacco smoke and warm soda. "And you start my day out by marching in here and asking whether we can open an international school of baseball? Is there anything else, or was that your only brilliant idea for the day?" "Sir, may I speak again?" Arbiter nodded in reply, leaning over to set the balloon down. "Sir," Gene began, "it's not my intention to entertain the prisoners. My only goal is to keep the United States team in good shape. So, if you allow us to play, you would be doing our side a favor, a huge favor. And what can that hurt? I think it can only help us and American morale. Besides, there are many other American guards here, and they can watch us play when they're not on duty, so..." "So could the locals," Gene paused. "It's been a long war for them, too." Arbiter flicked the ash from the tip of his cigarette into the top of an empty Coke bottle. He offered the pack to Gene, who declined. He appeared to be softening. Gene could sense it. Arbiter was warming up to the idea. "Moore, let me get this straight. You want to put a bat in the hand of one of these krauts? They would like nothing better than to see all of us dead, and you want to put a weapon in their hands. Do you realize how many good American men these Nazi elites have killed, not to mention how many Brits, Canadians, and French? Moore, I understand what you are trying to do, but I don't see how I can do it safely without my superiors coming down on me like a ton of bricks." Gene leaned forward in his chair, excited by the small opening an officer was inviting him to exploit. "Only one at a time will have a bat, sir, and the guards around the field will be armed. I don't see them running into the woods or swamps. I think they're more afraid of snakes than they are of us. They won't leave, and if they try, they will be shot, and they know it. It's at least 200 yards to the fence and the trees. I'll personally shoot them, sir." The officer reached up with his right hand and rubbed his eyebrows. "This is the craziest thing I have heard in a long while, but let me think about it. If the Navy even thought for a moment I would entertain the idea of letting Jerry's play baseball, they'd probably bust me down to Seaman and transfer my sorry ass to the Pacific. Yes, sir, I understand. Arbiter's voice and manner, however, no longer matched his rhetoric. His tone had softened considerably. Look, Moore, I'm sympathetic to your problem. Believe it or not, I'm even a little sympathetic, he held up two fingers with an inch of space between them, to theirs. But they are still the enemy. Believe me, son, none of us want to be in Louisiana. The war is over there. He pointed with his forefinger. It's on the open seas. I'm bored silly, too. He slapped a mosquito on his cheek and looked at his hand. The bugs that bite around here never take time off. Arbiter picked the remnants of a large insect from his hand. Do you know what the state bird of Louisiana is, son? No, sir, I don't. The mosquito. He shot Gene a glance. Are we through here? Gene smiled and chuckled. Commander, earlier you said you liked baseball and even played some. That's right. What position? Look, Moore, don't bullshit me. Just get me a few weeks with these guys, sir, and we'll give you a good game to watch, I promise. Think of it this way, Commander. We will be using Yankee ingenuity here. Arbiter stared at him. Gene noticed for the first time that the skin around his eyes was folded into jagged wrinkles, the result of years of heavy cigarette smoking. Yankee ingenuity. How so? We would be using the Germans to improve our ball game and help our side win the war, in our own small way, replied Gene, his voice rising in excitement as he spoke. His commanding officer was definitely weakening. We would be playing with the enemy, sure, but we would be using the enemy, too. Arbiter stood up and walked to the window, where he spent a full minute staring outside without speaking. After toying with the cigarette behind his ear, he turned around to face Gene, running a callous hand over his tight brown crew cut. This could be the end of my glorious naval career. You clear with me when and where you practice and when and where you play. I, and only I, approve the logistics of this crazy idea, and I will pull the plug on this thing the minute anyone, and I mean anyone, gets out of line on either side. Do you understand where I'm coming from, sailor? Gene jumped out of his chair at the news. He saluted and smiled broadly. Aye, aye, sir, I won't disappoint you. You damn well better not. Chapter 18. The Berlin Bombers. It was only 6:30 a.m., but Gene was already dragging out the team gear toward the field with the biggest smile on his face anyone had witnessed in weeks. For him, it wasn't just a game. It was everything that went with it. The whole circus atmosphere in which baseball was steeped. He always looked forward to playing, going to bed early the night before, falling to sleep while imagining the winning tag at home plate, waking up early and putting on the uniform, dragging out the gear. Even hours of endless practice were fun in any weather, rain or shine. There was not a single activity associated with baseball that Gene Moore didn't love. He dropped the dirty white heavy canvas bag full of balls, gloves, and bats next to the makeshift plate he and his teammates had installed the week before and looked across the ramshackle field to the pen where the enemy sailors, soon to be the opposing baseball team, were still sleeping. Gene had no idea whether these Germans would like or even agree to play baseball. He hoped they would be excited by the prospect of getting up early every morning and hitting the diamond. Who knows, he thought. This may be the beginning of the Germans adopting baseball as their national pastime. He unbuckled the bag and began pulling the contents out. They call it the World Series, his mind raced. Maybe someday there will be baseball all over the world, including Germany. When the contents were spread out, Gene stood and stretched, looking again toward the prison pen. A few captives were already up and milling about. One was watching Gene. It was Mueller, the quiet one who could kick the ball. Gene had long ago sensed that German, in particular, was a leader and respected by his fellow prisoners. The others watched him and seemed to measure their responses to situations based on what Mueller said or did, and he spoke good English, which was a real plus. Gene waved at him, and to his surprise, the German lifted his arm and offered a weak wave in reply. Gene trotted back to the barracks where everyone who was not on duty was still sawing logs. He took a big breath and yelled at the top of his lungs, "Play ball!" No one stirred or said a word. Gene tried again. Get up! Rise and shine! Today at the lumberyard, it's the Brooklyn Dodgers U.S. Navy Exhibition Baseball Team versus the pride of Hitler's Germany, the Berlin Bombers. Hey, Gene, Tim Milner mumbled, turning over and glaring at him. Tell them to go play Stalin's Moscow Reds and leave us alone. What? Get up! Let's get some food and play ball. I did everything but beg to let us play, and you repay me with this kind of lip? Get your candy asses out of bed and be out on the field in 30 minutes with full stomachs. We are playing with the enemy, boys. Gene ran from bunk to bunk, shaking each player, ducking a few swings, and laughing before heading out the door to the U-505 pen. The last thing he'd been expecting was a better reception from the Germans than his own teammates. Gene approached the wire and looked around for Mueller. He spotted him walking the inside track as he did every morning. The catcher trotted along outside the fence until he caught up with him. "Guten Morgen, Mueller," he offered in German. Please, thank you, and a half dozen other words comprised his entire German lexicon. Heinrich Mueller slowed his pace and turned to look at the strange American who was always trying to get his attention. "Good morning to you," he answered in perfect English. Gene smiled. "Can we speak in English? I can't speak German." Mueller shrugged and nodded. "I've got some good news for you and your friends. The Americans have surrendered?" Mueller asked with a small smile. Gene chuckled. "That's funny. You have a good sense of humor." "No, we're still going at it overseas. I came to tell you we are going to play baseball." Mueller's expression lost its smile. "You can go play with yourself," he replied before picking up his pace. Gene walked faster to keep up. "Mueller, wait a minute. Stop. Please." Mueller stopped and turned to face Gene. "You think I want to be here in Louisiana stuck with you?" continued Gene. "Let me tell you, we hate it here too. These guys guarding you, me included, are baseball players. You know what that is, right?" Mueller nodded slowly. "American baseball?" Gene nodded. "Good. What about making the most out of this lousy situation and having some fun? What do you know about the game?" "About American baseball? It's a boring game. Very slow and nothing happens. Now football, German football, that is a real game. You Americans call it soccer. That is hard to play well and moves fast. The world plays football, Americans play baseball alone because it puts the rest of us to sleep." Gene laughed at his answer. "Well, coming from you, that's a speech." Mueller furrowed his eyebrows to indicate he did not understand. Gene waved him off. "Never mind," he tried again. "How would you like to come outside the wire every day?" Now Gene had his full attention. Mueller looked around as if sensing a joke or a trick. "Outside? To work?" "No, to play baseball." "Why would I play baseball with you?" Gene turned his outstretched arms over and replied, "Why wouldn't you? It's good exercise if nothing else, and it's also a lot of fun. You can hit, catch, throw the ball, run. We will teach you and your shipmates. Or you can sit behind the wire doing nothing and wasting away." Mueller studied the American carefully, trying to gauge the sincerity of his offer. "Do you have a cigarette?" Gene shook his head. "No, sorry, I don't smoke." He decided to ease into the program step by step. "Tell you what, we are going to be playing more baseball now. More organized practices over there," he said, pointing to the open field. "You watch us. If you like what you see, we will teach you. Okay?" Mueller shrugged and nodded. "Yeah, okay. We will watch." Chapter 19. We Have Guns. The members of the U.S. Navy baseball team spent the next 10 days preparing the field, stripping away weeds, building up a mound, and practicing the game. Through it all, the Germans watched from afar, standing or sitting behind the wire, studying the Americans and their strange game played with a stick and a ball. At first, only a handful paid much attention, but when word spread that the guards wanted to teach them how to play, nearly everyone in the compound found a seat somewhere and spent hours at a time eyeing the proceedings. After one particularly exciting practice ended, Gene took off his gear and walked over to where Heinrich Mueller was standing. "Mueller, we're going to do each other a favor," Gene began. "You are going to let me go?" the German replied sarcastically. "Yes, but only over to there," he answered, pointing in the direction of the diamond. "I was trying to explain this the other day, but didn't do a good job. Look, we aren't real soldiers or sailors." Mueller's eyebrows shot up in amazement. "And those are not real guns?" he asked, nodding his head toward a pair of guards walking around the fence with rifles slung over their shoulders. "The guns are real, and we know how to use them, and we would if we had to," Gene continued. "What I'm trying to explain is that these guys you see here, each day playing baseball, are part of the baseball team. We were put into the Navy together to play ball. We spent months, for example, traveling all over North Africa playing baseball." "Why? Why would you do such a thing? For what purpose?" For entertainment, replied Jane, to give the real American soldiers, the guys actually fighting, a break from the front, to give them a taste of home. You Americans are not as smart as you think, Mueller said with a determined shake of his head. You do it wrong. You should have been playing to entertain the German troops. Why is that? Baseball could be your secret weapon, smiled Mueller. You could have bored us to death and won the war already. At that, Jane burst out laughing. Well, if you find baseball boring, you've just been watching the wrong team. What does this have to do with me? I am your prisoner. We just want to go home. Jane's voice took on a more serious tone. Someday you will. We want the same thing. But since we're all here, there's no reasons why we can't try to make the most of a bad situation, right? Why do you keep speaking with me about this? I am not an officer. You speak English, Jane responded. Several of us speak English. Jane caught and held Mueller's gaze. Look, I saw what you did with that ball inside the yard. My guess is that you're an athlete, a good one. Am I right? He shrugged and nodded. I play football. And I bet you're a star, right? I play very good football. If we were not at war, I would probably be on our German national team. I was right. I knew you were an athlete, Jane answered with enthusiasm. The barriers between them were beginning to break down. Mueller, if it wasn't for this war, I'd be playing professional baseball. So would Ray over there, he continued, pointing to the pitcher who was playing catch with Jim Reardon. In fact, everyone who guards you here was part of our team. Mueller shrugged again. What is the purpose of this interrogation? This is not an interrogation. I'm asking you to play baseball with us. We want to teach you and your men how to play the game. It'll pass the time. We can get to know each other and have fun. Mueller rubbed his light blonde beard and thought about the offer. The idea that the enemy would invite him and his fellow Kriegsmarine comrades outside the fence to teach them baseball perplexed the German. Hey, Ray, shouted Jane. Come over here a second. The pitcher nodded and trotted across the field to where Jane was talking through the wire with the prisoner. Mueller, this is Ray Laws. He's a pitcher. Ray, this is Mueller. The introduction was a bit awkward, and both men nodded in reply but said nothing. Ray, tell this guy why we want to teach them baseball. Ray replied, because we're all bored silly, love the game, and want to pass the time until we get the hell away from this place, and we need to field more players. Mueller bobbed his head and continued stroking his beard. We won't be talking about anything having to do with the war or your role in it, Jane assured the German. In fact, our commander forbids it. I wouldn't even know what to ask you. We have no hidden agenda, we just want to play ball. Mueller looked at Jane and back to Ray. Ray looked at Jane, then back to Mueller. Jane looked at both of them and finally asked, What do you think? Might be good for international relations. Mueller sighed and replied, I will ask around with my comrades. I mentioned it once and several like the idea. Many do not, but some do. A few are angry and think I am discussing things I should not be. What you call collaborating, I think the word is. I will explain to them. He turned away and took a few steps before stopping to turn back around. What do I call you? He asked. Call me Jane. Jane Moore. And you? He asked, pointing at Ray. Ray Laws, call me Ray. My name is Heinrich, offered Mueller. Heinrich, Jane continued, I have an idea. He told both men what he had in mind before leaving for the commander's office. Felix Kals walked quickly up to Heinrich as he walked back toward his barracks. Heinrich, he asked quietly so as not to attract attention, what did those Americans want with you? Heinrich shared what he had been told. When Gobler and the other crewmen joined them, he repeated the conversation. Felix shook his head. I don't trust them. This is just a new interrogation technique. We can get in big trouble if we play with them. We could be shot for treason when we get home. When we get home, the war will be over and no one will be shooting anyone, another sailor interjected. What do they want to say to us? Heinrich picked a tiny black biting bug from his arm and another from his ear. Wait, you will see. You will not believe your ears when you hear. These Americans have lost their minds. I have been asked to interpret what they want to say to you, to all of us. What have you been telling them? Felix asked. Nothing, Heinrich adamantly declared. I have said nothing and disclosed nothing. I have only listened to them and agreed to be an interpreter. By this time, several more crewmates had gathered around the men. Heinrich waited for their questions, which came fast and hard. He did his best to answer them. Please speak slowly and in short sentences, Mueller requested. My English is good, but slow. 30 minutes had passed. Gene and Ray were standing outside the wire with most of U-505's crew gathered in front of them. Commander Arbiter had listened, grumbled, and complained, but ultimately granted Gene's request to allow the prisoners to approach the main fence in large numbers, something usually forbidden, so he could discuss baseball, and only baseball, with them. Extra guards stood outside, but at a distance, ready to respond if anything unexpected took place. The expressions on the Germans' faces spanned the gamut, from friendly smiles to angry stares. It was also obvious several were quite upset with Mueller. Three had joined to listen, but had their backs to the man. "Okay, this is most of